You'll turn back in God's Word to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48. This morning we are thinking about, by faith, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. By faith, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. What will you be remembered for? What will be your legacy that you pass on to the next generation? I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it that will be said of you when you are gone? In Hebrews chapter 11, we have an overview of the highlights from the lives of people of faith. Here are some of the highlights, the high points that they're remembered for. It's the legacy that they've left behind. And what is it that is said of Jacob? Well, it could be that he received the covenant blessing before Esau. It could have been said that he worked 14 years for Laban. It could be said that he met with God in a dream. It could be said that he wrestled with God. It could be that he went down to Egypt in old age and got to see his son Joseph again. There are many things that the writer to the Hebrews could have said about the high point in Jacob's life. But the writer to the Hebrews chooses none of these. What is it that Jacob is to be remembered for in his faith? He says in Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. This episode in Genesis chapter 48 is of great importance. Out of all that Jacob has done, when the writer to the Hebrews is picking faith that shines brightest, he goes to Jacob blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, why is this event so important? Why do we see faith shining brightest here in the life of Jacob? The answer is because although nearly blind, Jacob's eyes of faith are wide open. And here he sees the blessing of the covenant. And here he sees that the blessing of the covenant is all that matters. There is the blessing of being in God's family. And that is to be shared and passed on. There is the blessing of the land to come. And that is to be shared and passed on. Here we have before us the futility of striving after the things of the world. They don't matter. But what does matter is the soul. The promises of God. These are the things that matter the most. And so here, as Jacob is drawing his final breaths, as he's coming to the end of his life, it's the covenant promises that matter most. And these are to be passed on to the next generation. What use is it if we pass on the riches of this world? What use is it if our legacy is the things of this world, so that the next generation might lose their soul? Jacob's eyes of faith are wide open. The covenant promises matter most. And here in old age, near the end of his life, his faith shines brightest. And by faith, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. I want us to look at this chapter under three headings. And firstly, we see here rejoicing in past blessing. Rejoicing in past blessing. Joseph hears that his father is ill, and so he goes to him. And when Jacob is told that Joseph has arrived, we're told that Jacob summons his strength, whatever is left in his frail, weak body, and he sits up in the bed. Because there's important business to be conducted. There's something important that needs to be said. What does Jacob do? But he recounts the blessing that he's received from God Almighty. He tells Joseph that God appeared to him at Luz in Bethel. This place where Jacob had his vision of God, where God made the covenant promises to him. I'm sure it's a story that Joseph would have heard on many occasions before. But again, Jacob is recounting what God has done. He's going back over this encounter with God, the promises, the blessings, the covenant that God has given to him. Jacob is saying to Joseph, God has blessed me. God has called me into his covenant family. God has chosen me and given me the covenant promises, just as he did for my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac, so God has done for me. I am one of God's. I belong to him. I'm in covenant bond and fellowship with him. My life is bound up with the promises that God has made. Look at verses 15 and 16. This is Jacob saying who God is. This is the God who has shepherded me all the days of my life. This is the first time in Scripture that God is being referred to as a shepherd. It won't be the last. God has gone before me. God has led me. God has provided for me. God has protected me. He has been my shepherd. Look at verse 16. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. The angel is God himself. If you look at verses 15 and 16, three times we have a name for God. There is God, God, and then the angel. It's a threefold naming in the blessing that is being given. The God of my fathers, the God who shepherded, the angel who redeemed. This is God. In Genesis 31, verse 11, we are told that the angel of God speaks to Jacob. And the angel of God says to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. The angel. God has redeemed him. It's the first time God is mentioned as a shepherd. This is also the first time that we have this word redeemed in the Bible. This is quite exciting. This is the word goel. If you remember back to last summer when we were looking at the book of Ruth, there was a goel, a redeemer in the book of Ruth, Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, someone from the family who steps forward to save the family. Someone from the family who is going to pay the price to bring salvation to the family, to provide for the family, to keep the family secure and safe. A family member who steps in to pay the price. The angel has redeemed. The angel of God is the one who has stepped in to rescue Jacob. The one to pay the price to bring salvation to Jacob. Jacob can look back over his difficult life. And life has been difficult for Jacob. He's experienced sadness and sorrow. He mentions that when he speaks of the death of his beloved Rachel. But he can look back and the overwhelming emotion as he looks back is one of rejoicing. It's one of thanksgiving. He rejoices and gives thanks to God for all that he's done for him. The fact that he's been called into the covenant family, that he's been shepherded, that he's been redeemed, and that even God has given him special extra blessings. He's been allowed to see his grandchildren. A completely unexpected experience. Verse 11. I didn't expect to see you or your sons. God has blessed him richly, and Jacob is looking back. And he's saying, I rejoice. I give thanks for all that God has done for me. The blessing of the covenant. That's what matters most. The promises of the covenant. That's what matters most. And I look back and I rejoice. And surely, like Jacob, we must look back with great rejoicing. What will we be remembered for as we near the end of our lives? What is it that you will look back on as you near the end of your lives? Will our attention be caught up with Egypt, with the world that we're in, the riches that we've maybe had, the difficulties that we've experienced, the sorrows that we've come through? Will we look back and will we look at the things of the world, our difficulties, our hardships? Where are our eyes going to be fixed? Where will our hearts be? Well, surely for the Christian, we can look back and say, God has chosen me. God has shown love to me. He has brought me into his covenant family. He set on me his covenant love. And he has shepherded me. He has led me and guided me. He's provided for me, cared for me, protected me. And he has redeemed me. The angel of God himself, Jesus Christ, my kinsman redeemer, the member of the family who put himself forward to pay the price to save me. Will we look back and say, yes, I've had difficulties and sorrows, but I can also look back at unexpected blessings and privileges, and I have to say, in my old age, I rejoice. I rejoice in what God has done. I worship him because of what he has done. I am thankful for the blessings that he has given to me. I am eternally thankful for salvation, because it's these blessings of the covenant, it's the promises of salvation that matter most. And everything else pales into insignificance compared to these great things that God has done. Rejoicing in past blessings. Then secondly, we have here responsibility in passing on blessings. There's responsibility in passing on blessings. There's work that needs to be done. Even for Jacob, even in old age, the covenant promises must be passed on. It's the blessing of the covenant that matters most. Joseph has arrived with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. These are the sons born to him in Egypt. They've been born to him by the daughter of an Egyptian priest. These boys have been educated in the palaces. They have lived their lives in Egyptian society, surrounded by Egyptian culture. And now Jacob is adopting them as his own sons. Verse 5. Your two sons are mine. This is a formal adoption ceremony that's being carried out. In verse 8, Jacob here is asking a formal question. Who are these? It's not because he doesn't know. He knows Ephraim and Manasseh are there. It's a formal adoption process. And so Joseph replies with the formal answer. They are my sons whom God has given me here. And so Joseph brings them near and places them at Jacob's knees. And he kisses them and embraces them. They are now to be counted as Jacob's sons. Now, this might seem strange to us, but consider for a moment what this means. The sons of Jacob will receive the inheritance in the promised land. It's the sons of Jacob who will each have a share. And Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be included. They're going to be equal with the sons of Jacob. Manasseh and Ephraim are going to have an equal share in the inheritance in the promised land as the other sons. When the tribes of Israel move into Canaan, the land is divided out among them. The tribe of Levi, they don't have a share in the land because they serve God at the tabernacle. God is their portion. And they're divided out throughout the different tribes. The other 10 sons and Joseph's two sons each receive a 1/12 of the land. They all receive a portion. That means that Joseph's two sons, they have two portions. One portion for Ephraim, one portion for Manasseh. A 1/6 of the land is theirs. Jacob is giving a double portion to the inheritance of Joseph. Jacob is making sure that these sons have a share in the promise. What matters most? It's the promises. It's the covenant. It's the blessings of God. And Jacob is making sure that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to share in that. And this is one reason why he is adopting them as his sons. It's so that the covenant blessing can be passed on to them. It's so that they can see that the riches and the wealth of Egypt are nothing compared to the riches of the covenant promise. What matters most is the covenant blessing. And Jacob passes it on. Jacob is making sure that his Egyptian grandchildren are included. That they know how important it is. Jacob here is looking forward in faith. He won't see the promised land again. He's going to die beforehand, but he is longing to be there. Ephraim and Manasseh, they're going to receive the double portion of Joseph. A 1/6 of the land is going to belong to them and to their families. But neither Ephraim nor Manasseh is ever going to see the promised inheritance. When Jacob dies, it's his direct sons, his 12 sons who bring him back to Canaan to bury him. The rest of the family remain down in Egypt. Ephraim and Manasseh will not see the land. But Jacob is so keen for them to be included. His desire is for them to know the promises that he says to them, I want you to have it. I know you can't see it yet. I know that you may never enter into the physical land itself. But the promises, the greater land to come, the land that they looked forward to in faith, the spiritual inheritance, I want you to know how important it is. I want you to have a share in the land and in the promises. Listen again to the blessing that he gives to them in verse 15 and 16. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. Bless the boys. In them let my name be carried on. The name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. For those of you who are grandparents here, what grandparent would not want that for their grandchildren? The promise, the blessings of the covenant. What grandparent would not desire to have their grandchildren having a share in the promises? What parent would not want that for their children? Jacob is saying, this is what I want for my seed, for my offspring, for the generations that follow. I want them to know the blessing of the God of salvation. I want them to know the shepherd, the redeemer. I want them to have inclusion into the promises and the inheritance. What legacy do you want to leave behind you? What is it that you want to be remembered for? Surely it's that we passed on the covenant promises. That we made known to the next generation that the covenant God. That we declared our praise and our thanks to him before our children and our grandchildren, before our young people. In faith, Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph. They must know. We have a responsibility to pass on the blessing, to pass on the inheritance. I want to speak for a moment or two to the children, the young people. Many of you have godly parents and godly grandparents. And they have prayed for you. And they've taught you the scriptures. And they have shared with you their great joy in Jesus Christ. They have shared with you what God has done for them. And they've talked with you about the God who has redeemed them. What is it that your parents, your grandparents are doing for you? They want you to know that what this world offers is nothing compared to the covenant promises of God. Knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that there is an eternal home for all of his people. Why do they do that? They want you to know that what matters most is salvation, eternal life. The blessings of the covenant. We have a responsibility to pass on the blessings. Rejoicing in past blessing. Responsibility in passing on the blessing. And then thirdly and finally, reassurance in the promised blessing. Reassurance in the promised blessing. As Joseph brings Ephraim and Manasseh forward to receive the blessing, Joseph keeps Manasseh in his left hand and Ephraim in his right hand, so that when he brings them to Jacob, Jacob just needs to stretch out his hands, and Jacob's right hand would fall on Manasseh, his left hand would fall on Ephraim. That's because Manasseh is the older son, the elder one. The blessing should be conferred on him first. He should have the greater blessing ahead of Ephraim, the younger one. But blind Jacob crosses his hands and gets it all mixed up. Oh no. Not this way. Joseph interrupts the blessing. Put your right hand here, Daddy. You've got it wrong. Does this sound familiar? Two boys receiving blessing from an old blind father. It sounds like Jacob and Esau. Poor blind Isaac, he was fooled and tricked. He gave the blessing to the wrong one. As far as he was concerned, Jacob received it. But here there is a difference. Jacob knows what he is doing. I know. The blessing goes to the younger. Ephraim will be a multitude. Later on in Israel's history, when the kingdom of Israel is divided in two, we have Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Israel in the north was also a lot of the times just called Ephraim, because Ephraim was so numerous, because they were so populous, at times Israel in the north was just referred to as Ephraim. But what I want you to notice is that Jacob reverses the verdict of their birth. Jacob places the younger ahead of the older. This is common in Genesis. We've seen it over and over again. Every time, what has it come down to? It has come down to God's choice. God's choosing. It is God who works. Genesis teaches us, and we'll see this when we come to the end of the book of Genesis, blessing doesn't come from human effort. It doesn't come from human strength and from our own will, but it comes from God. And God brings about reversals. Blessing is all of grace. It's God's working. And so it is for the blessings of the covenant. The promise of salvation, our eternal inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth, it's God's work. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. By faith. He was looking forward. And God was directing him. We can't cause an anxious thought in the hearts or the minds of our children, our grandchildren, of our family, of our friends. We can't waken them up to spiritual realities. We can't change hardened hearts. But God can. God can take two boys raised in Egypt, surrounded with Egyptian education and society, and he can impress on them the importance of the covenant. By faith, Jacob blesses the boys. By faith, Jacob reversed the verdict of their births. And God can reverse the verdict of our birth. By birth, we are naturally inclined to sin. We're born with a sinful nature. We are outside of Christ. We are born under judgment. But God can reverse the verdict of our birth. God alone can redeem us through Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our reassurance. Our reassurance concerning the promised blessing. It is all of God. The blessing comes from Him alone. It doesn't come by our effort or by our strength. And so maybe as we pass on the importance, that responsibility that we can have, that we do have, it also shouldn't be an excessive burden for us. Because it is God. It is God who works. It is God who reverses. It is all of God's grace. Our reassurance concerning the promised blessing is that it is all of God. And this is why Jacob is reassured as he again looks forward. He looks forward with confidence, not just for himself, but also for Joseph. Verse 21. But God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. God is the God of grace. And here at the end of Jacob's life, he is reassured. We look forward. God will be with us. We will inherit the promises. Remember, it's more than just the physical land that they're looking forward to. Hebrews tells us they were looking forward to the city that God had prepared. They were looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, that spiritual home. Be reassured as we look forward. God will be with you. God will bring you to the land. The end of Jacob's life. We can see why the writer to the Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Spirit, picked this to be the highlight. What matters most is the covenant promises. The promise of blessing and salvation that God alone gives. Egypt, with all of its riches, is nothing compared to the surpassing riches of knowing Christ. And friends, here is something that we can rejoice in. Rejoicing in what God has done for us. And this is something that we should be ready to share and pass on. Our desire is that our children and our children's children, that coming generations know that what matters most is the covenant promises and blessings in Christ. We share it. We proclaim it. But we also do with great reassurance. The Shepherd and the Redeemer is with us. It is His work. His will, His grace. What do you want to be remembered for the end of your life? Surely it's what Jacob is remembered for. By faith, he blesses the boys. By faith, it's the covenant promises that mattered most to him, to her. Covenant promises that they shared and they declared. Their great reassurance as they looked forward in faith to the covenant promises in Jesus Christ. Amen.